The loving light of Christ. Want to reflect on that? Let's give that some thought as to what light does. What does the light do? Talk about how the light works. Use an example from the Gospel of John where Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And then want to share with you beyond that, see how what it does, how it works, and really, how does that happen within us? You know, that's really important to be able to apply it. So in some ways, in our lives, we're like reflecting God's love. So we're a reflection of it. So if you think of the moon, that's a reflection of the sun's light. Now, some nights it's really good. I think we're going into a full moon phase, so it's really bright. Sometimes it's not so bright. You have a new moon. And it's like us. Sometimes we're full of just beaming over with the love of God, and sometimes it's not. But that implication, that idea of us reflecting the light is somewhat incomplete because the text actually says that the light of Christ is within us. It's shining. It actually comes into us and it lives within us through power of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate baptism later on, this is the time where Christ actually takes up residence through the Holy Spirit. So this is a very powerful thing. It's a life-changing thing. It's very profound. And it's not anything that we do. It's something that just God does. It's something that's a gift totally from God. In the book of Ephesians 2:8, some of you know 2:8, 9, and 10, right? We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, so that nobody can brag about it. And actually, in this verse, in this section, verse 14, Paul is talking about grace. He's quoting from Isaiah. He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. And the whole verse goes like this: Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and the glory, His glory, appears over you. So when we talk about light, first let's talk about what it does. You know, obviously light shows us the way to go. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It illumines our path. It also shows us what is darkness. It shows us what is bad. Paul talks about this a lot in this section. He talks about a lot of bad things. Hillary, you mentioned some of that in the text. I mean, it's really powerful when you look at that, the things that he's talking about. He mentions some things like sexual immorality. And these are things in our culture. And this is... It's changed somewhat, but it's intense. Pornography in our culture is off the chart. It's just insane. It is destroying relationships. It is destroying marriages. It's something that is really, really bad. It's not good. It's darkness. Now, sometimes people are enticed to it, and they think it's really cool for the moment. It's something really awesome to just have fun with and express yourself. But it is so hurtful. And it's so demeaning in so many ways. To women and to men alike. I mean, it's just not right. So you see this. I get that. And he talks about covetousness and desiring and wanting things. So, yeah, Paul talks about some really dark things. But, you know, for us, what I was thinking about in this is my wife and I, Jill, like to go for walks. And we usually do that late at night. And when we do that late at night, of course, it's really dark. And we live in an older town. We live up in Paxton. And so it'll be very late. Sidewalks are sometimes kind of bumpy and stuff. And we can't see where we're going. Have you ever noticed something about light in this world? Light in this world. That it does not take away the darkness. It does not take away the darkness. The darkness is still very much there. And when we're walking down a sidewalk at night, the light shines in the street lights and it shines on the path, and the trees cause darkness. It causes to be darker with shadows. See, the shadows are the darker things in our lives. They're the darker things that Paul is talking about. Those are the shadows in your life and in my life. And what happens is when I'm walking down that sidewalk, there are bumps and there's uneven parts where Jill and I can't see them. If we hit them, we can go down and we can get hurt really bad. And so what we do is we come out of the shadows, out of the darkness, into the light of the streetlights. And the light that's in this world illuminates, yes, it shows us the things that are dark, but it calls us. What it's doing is it's calling you and I out of these things that are destructive, out of these things that are hurtful, out of these things that aren't productive for us, and causing us, calling us to walk out in the light so we don't stumble and fall. So, you know, that's what it does. And how it works, what came to my mind when I was thinking about this and thinking about this text, I knew Jesus calls Himself the light of the world. Have you heard that text? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And so I thought, where did He say that? And I looked it up. It's in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, He talks about light of the world. And I was amazed to look at the context where He spoke that. He spoke that where there was incredible darkness and sin. There was this lady, right before He spoke those words, who got caught. The religious leaders, these Pharisees and scribes, they had caught her in the act of adultery. So they grabbed her and they brought her out in front of Jesus there in the temple, and they put her down, and they said, "The law says we're supposed to stone her. We're supposed to kill her. What do you say, Jesus?" And you know, I want you to catch, first of all, notice that the law is no help to this lady. Sometimes people think, I can just be good. I can be a good person. I can do what's right. The law is absolutely no help to this lady. Actually, the law is going to kill her. And this is what the law does. The law is not our friend. It's no friend to her. A dark day in her life just got all the more darker, as dark as it could ever be, because she's looking at getting stoned to death. And you know, Jesus doesn't say that the law is wrong. That's important to know. He doesn't say that the law is bad. And also, Jesus doesn't say sin is a serious problem. He doesn't say that at all. This is a hurtful thing. This is a bad thing that's going on here. It's not good. But when they want Jesus to countenance stoning her, He's showing all of us how God really is. He loves sinners. He loves people who are broken. He doesn't have any favorites. Love is His character. It's who He is. He comes not to accuse, but to save. And only Jesus can save. Do you notice that? So you have these scribes, these Pharisees. These guys are the leaders of the Jewish people. They felt they had the right to judge. But the Son of God is standing there. He has the right to judge, and He didn't. They have to give to the one that's greater than Him, than them. And He had the right to kill her. He had the right to judge her, and He didn't choose to do it. And so when we hear Him say, "Let he who has never sinned throw the first stone," or, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." We begin, just barely begin, to realize the unfathomable extent of God's love and how far He will go to save us. This woman likely realized what she had been saved from and was awakened to new life through her experience with Jesus Christ, through the light of Christ's love shining on her. And maybe, just maybe, these religious leaders, they had already decided that Jesus was not the Savior, and they were blind to the light of Christ that was shining on them. But maybe they were touched. Maybe Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees that ends up getting saved, is there. Maybe the Apostle Paul, who is a well-known Pharisee, maybe he was there in the midst. We don't know. But maybe this spoke to them. And maybe they could realize that God loved them too. You know, this is how it works. It's the love of God in Christ that shines on us. This is how the light of Christ works. And you know, Paul tells us what it is. He describes it. Let's look together at three things that Paul says in this text. He lists them out. He lists goodness, he lists righteousness, and he lists truth. So he defines it. He calls it the fruit of the Spirit. The reason why he calls it the fruit of the Spirit, I believe, is because it's the Spirit that works these things. It's not our own works. It's not our own abilities. It's something that God's Spirit does. And so goodness, when he talks about goodness, You know, goodness has to do in the Greek to motives, thoughts, and actions towards others. It's motives, thoughts, and actions that we have towards others. And since goodness implies some type of activity involving others, you know, in English, we would use it, even in translation, it would be said something like to be good to or to benefit. We practice goodness when we are walking in love towards people. We practice goodness when I am loving my neighbor as myself. That's when I practice goodness. You know, a legalist doesn't do that. A legalist just has like a list of rules that they follow and then they're okay. The problem with that is that your list of rules and my list of rules don't agree, so we're going to have a problem. But goodness is what I do. I share. And you have difficult people? Is there people that are difficult in your work or, I don't know, in your family or whatever? We're all human beings, right? I mean, I know I can be difficult at times. I mean, it's just the reality of who we are, you know? And here's the thing. If you have to deal with somebody that's difficult, or if it's difficult to you, maybe you're having a bad day, maybe something like that, you know, I find it's good just to stop. Just to stop and take a deep breath. Relax. Think in your mind that Jesus Christ died for this person. That Jesus Christ thought this person was worth dying for. And it can affect the way that we look at things. It can motivate us in goodness, not because of who good we are, but really because of how wonderful Christ is. Have you ever noticed the way Paul closes all his epistles? I'd ask you to check that out. Look at that a little bit later on. When you get a chance, maybe this week, and you'll look, he closes all of his epistles with personal greetings. Isn't that the coolest thing in the world? And the reason why he does that, I think, is because people are more important than buildings. People are more important than cathedrals, than churches. Because people are churches. It's people living in community, loving one another, serving one another. That's a church. And that's why when Paul closes epistles, he always closes it talking about the people. And sometimes he has good things to say. Not always. He doesn't always have good things to say. But he always connects personally with what the people are doing. He always makes that personal connection because I believe he's saying, you are important to me and you are important to Christ. And so we consider the goodness of God. We consider the goodness of God in light of Jesus Christ and who He is. And that we are connected with Him and through Him one to another. I know that we don't get this perfect, but that's the second point because it's righteousness. And righteousness in Scriptures and the word that Paul uses here always refers to Jesus Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's the beauty of His sacrifice for us and what He's done for us. And you and I can't earn that. We can't do anything to get that. He just gives that to us because He just wholesale just loves us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes when I'm doing my devotions, sometimes when I'm sharing a message, like even right now, when I'm sharing a message or when I'm talking or counseling with somebody in my office, I'm just absolutely overwhelmed by the love that Jesus Christ has for us. Just absolutely blown away. Just, there's no words. Almost to the point where you can just, you know, feel the tears. You're just kind of just blown away. That God would care for us. This is righteousness. This is righteousness. True righteousness. That, and this is who our God is. This is His character. This is His concern. This is His greatness. This is what He rejoices in His righteousness. The light of God's righteousness is the cross. That's it. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It shows us above all how much and how great He is and what extent He would go through and to save us. And we boldly apply that cross to ourselves. Boldly apply the fruit of that cross to ourselves. Is it possible to know the forgiveness of God and not live in it? I believe that it is. It is possible to know the forgiveness of God and live in guilt. And live shame, live reliving what we did or didn't do or what somebody said to us, whether it was a parent or whether it was a teacher or whether it was anything else, we cannot let that go. You know, we can withhold that from others. But He calls us to live in this strength, and the strength is the cross. And carrying the cross. You've heard about carrying the cross? Sometimes we think carrying the cross is kind of putting up with something, serving in church or doing something like that. I don't think it is. I think carrying the cross is knowing what that cross means, the forgiveness and love of Jesus Christ. I think that's carrying the cross, carrying it out into our families, into our relationships with our spouse, with our kids, in school, wherever it is. That's powerful. That's what the world needs. That's really what it needs. So, you know, and that's the last thing. Truth. 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 You know that He talks about truth. We're all so hungry for truth. And you know, we're all searching for truth. And so many people are searching for it. We want to know, what is the truth? You know, because I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that. Paul comes in, he says, truth is Jesus Christ. If you want to see truth, you look at the cross. That's truth. Have we all figured it out? No, haven't. He says, that's okay. You look at that cross and you see that cross of Christ and you know that is true. We know that is love. So let me close. I want to share something with you. We're going to do this together in community, folks. And you can do this. I can do this. You can do this. It's something that actually I know of going back to 1999. Wow, that's really old. I'm old. So, but going back that long. But I want to share it with you because it's really cool. It's called 111. You ever heard of that? 111. And I've done this before, so I share it with you again. But it's a great opportunity to introduce this to you. We're going to do this till Thanksgiving. All right? And 111 is very easy. It has to do with prayer. All right? You're going to pray for one person. 1 minute a day at 1 p.m. We can do that, right? One person, 1 minute a day, and you're going to pray at 1. All of us. And here's what I want to share with you as you think about that person. Be thinking about that special person. Somebody that's connected with you. Somebody that you are connected with. Somebody that you're concerned about. Now, it can be a neighbor. It can be a friend, it can be a schoolmate, it can be a family member. But it should be someone who doesn't know their need for Jesus Christ. It should be someone that really, maybe they're wrestling with some health issue, they're wrestling with some, whatever it might be, but they're just, you know, they really need to know. So pick that person out. Be thinking about that person right now. Commit to that right now. Say, yes, I'm going to do that. Until Thanksgiving, we'll do this. And I will try to remind you. I'll be reminding you of this. And you hold on to it. Write the person down. And so, can you imagine all of us? So all of us here at Trinity, all of us as members, your little alarm goes off at 1 p.m. and you'll know that all of us are praying together. For one person. For 1 minute. At 1 p.m. And then at Thanksgiving, our Thanksgiving will be an opportunity actually to give thanks. We'll see what God's doing. And we'll give thanks for that because God is good. Good all the time. Amen. And I pray that God would inspire us and help us as we in community grow stronger in Him and share and rejoice in the love of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Give you a great week. In Jesus' name. Amen.